We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Today, I want to talk to you guys about new beginnings. New beginnings. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that what I believe what God's laid on my heart today is inspired by the Holy Spirit and just what's been going on already. I will say, though, before I really dive into to everything, I just want to say 2024 has been, our vision has been, Zoe, the God kind of life. And we've been talking about that all year. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is that I. And he came for us that we may live life and live it abundantly. And again, it's so that we may live that abundant life. And there's two things on that word may. The first is that you've got to say, when someone says you may, that means they are giving you permission. God has given us permission through what Christ has done for us on the cross to live an abundant life. And that's a huge key for us, especially if maybe you may struggle with thinking that there's something unbiblical with living a life that's not poverty mindset. And I want to make sure that we understand, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about the welfare of our three-part being. I'm talking about our bodies, the welfare of our bodies, the prosperity in our bodies, an abundant life in our bodies, an abundant life in our souls, in our minds, how we think, and an abundant life in our spirits. There's an abundant life that's been made for us, and it's in our best interest that we get in line with what God has given us permission through the Word to have that. And it's no different than anything else that God does for his glory that goes outside of what's going on around us. See, we've been given access to an abundant life in a decaying world. We've been given access to life and life more abundantly, while yet outwardly things are not trending necessarily so positive. And again, that's all God's, it's for God's glory. It's just like Peter walking on the water. Peter didn't just, "I'm going to walk on the water and just step out and start doing something." No, Christ called to Peter and said, "Come on out." Yep. See, there, you have my permission to break the laws of nature and step out and do something supernaturally. It's no different than that. You and I being called to have an abundant life is no different than you've been called out of something that just without me, you'd never be able to do. You may live an abundant life. You may have the Zoe life. In our homes, in our families, in every facet, there's life and life more abundantly. And it's because we have God's permission. But the other side of that is we may or we may not. You may or you may not. See, and I want to give it to you like this. You can be saved and not live an abundant life. Because ignorance is bliss, yet sometimes bliss isn't all that it's cracked up to be, if we're really honest. And there's a better thing to live than just in ignorant bliss. And that's in peace, power, and having our provision made by the Holy Spirit. There's an abundant life that's been, I want to give it to you like this in this example. Whenever I was a kid and my dad would give me permission to use something of his, I also have his permission to not use it. "Here, son, you can use this. Here's this tool I have. Here's what I have made available for you." But he's not going to get mad at me if I don't use it. You have my permission. Hey, instead of you doing it that way, you have my permission. Use this. I mean, you don't have to. He's not getting mad and getting upset that I don't. Now, he knows it's going to be harder for me if I don't use it. But he's not mad if I don't adhere to it. See, why wouldn't I use what my father gave me permission to use? Well, either I wasn't really listening whenever he explained to me how to use it the first time, and so I'm not really comfortable with how to use it because I don't really know everything there is to know about it, so I'll just do what I'm comfortable with, even though it's harder. or I don't really think what you have to offer me is really all that good as what I'm doing right now. Because that would make me uncomfortable, and I'm comfortable right now, even though I know it's not great. And see, that's the part we struggle so often. And what I want you to see is what God has given us access to. We've talked about it all year, the Zoe life. But as especially as we're kind of ending this year, I want you to see that God's given you access and power to new beginnings, to new starts to things, to access to things that you didn't already know about, to go to a different level than what you were at. You can have a new beginning. You can have a do it again. You can have a try again. You can have a start again. And that's the aspect of attaining this something new, is we've got to move beyond how we feel about things and see what God says about for us to have new beginnings. And again, I always think it's appropriate for something like this to kind of talk about, because we talked about it in the youth elevation class, but you know, end of the year, what's everybody starting to do? New Year's resolutions, right? You know, and we kind of have this, you know, thought about New Year's resolutions in the sense of like, yeah, I'm really going to get it this year. Or, you know, I've tried that in the past year, so I'm not really going to do it this year, you know. And we're kind of dismissive about it. But I want us to change our mentality, just like what Pastor Ashley was saying. It's right here in my notes here about starting something. Don't wait to decide the way that I'm doing things right now is not good. Well, I'm going to wait till January 1st, and now I'm going to really try to do something different. No. Right now, you and I, we serve the God of new beginnings. We serve the God of new beginnings, and He is ready and willing and hoping that you will. Here, son. Here, daughter. Take a hold of what I have for you, and let's do something new. Let's start something new. Let's try something new. And when I say new beginnings, obviously I'm talk about starting something new as something that you've never tried before. But I also want to talk about starting something new, or having a new beginning in something that you've already experienced a failure in. I think we can all agree it's really hard sometimes to start something new, or to have a new beginning, or especially even to try something again after you've had a failure. It's hard. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to experience that again. But I think that we can agree that in order for us to accomplish new things, we're going to have to start doing new things. And we've got to see that new things oftentimes aren't found in the parameters of our comfort zones. In order for us to go boldly where no man has ever gone before, we can't stay where we're at right now. I have to try if I'm ever going to experience something new. We have to come to that conclusion. God wants me to try. God wants me to try. God wants me to try to do something different. And this is the new covenant. God has done something and made something new and available for us in the new covenant. It's a new beginning. It's a new testament. Being able to start over. See, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates for his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Christ die for us? So that we could start again. So that we could have new life again. And I found this quote, and I thought it fit really good here. It says, treat a man as he is, and he will stay as he is. Treat a man as he could be, and he will become what he should be. And that's what God did to us. See, God didn't treat us like we were rejects, you know, broken. God didn't treat us like junk. What he decided to do was, no, here's how I'm going to treat them. I'm going to treat them as my own righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, yet somehow we think God is in heaven looking down on us when we mess up, going, that's it, I'm done with you. You don't get to start again. You don't get to have a new beginning. You shouldn't try that again. You don't get access to that sacrifice that I paid for you. Look, I had a great life that I've called for you to, and a Zoe life that you could have experienced, and I had giftings that I was ready to pour out on you, but I'm going to take all those back now. That's not what the word says. Romans 11, verse 29. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. What that means is that God doesn't change his mind just because you failed in the past. And God won't change his mind about what he's called you to do. It's still available. It's still available. What God's hoping and praying that you will choose is to use it, is to live by it, is to live according to it, to seek to fulfill it, to seek to do it. And the great thing about a calling is that if God's called you to do something, then the gift that will help you accomplish that is within you. And it's not irrevocable. It's irrevocable too. It's not irrevocable too. Get that in there, right? For whatever God has called you to do, he's gifted you to do it. You just need to start again. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're looking at yourself in that negative way, or you feel like you've peaked to the point where there's nothing left that God can do with me, or I've reached my extent of how far I can go because of X, Y, or Z, I'm here to encourage you today that that's not the way that God sees your position at all. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Another translation, it says, his mercies never come to an end. What that means is that there's always opportunity for you in God to have a new beginning, to have a new start. And it's never taken back. Romans 6:23, it talks about the free gift of God is eternal life. God's not revoking that eternal life gift to you. That wasn't a one-time offer. Well, now I'm taking that away. And I'm going to give that to somebody who this can really help. Since you're not going to use it the right way, I'm going to. Listen, this isn't a license to sin, but at the same time, we have to address the reality of what Scripture says and decide how are we going to live. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You think that what you are is barren and desolate and nothing can ever grow in you again. I'm doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? Do you feel that draw on the inside? That's what God's saying in the word. Can you perceive what I'm trying to create on the inside of you? Do you perceive it? See, look. I'm making a way in the wasteland. And I get it. We come up with these reasons why we can't do something, or we can't try again, or why we shouldn't start again, or why new beginnings beyond us. And we've got all these different reasons. You know, I've tried that diet. I tried being patient, and I tried reading the scriptures, or I tried spending time with God. You know, maybe it was all these things. Why? You know, maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me. Maybe you were born with it. Maybe it was Maybelline. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but here's what you gotta see. We get focused. We get so hyper-focused on the reason why we can't, and we fix ourselves to that position. And there's a million reasons why you can't. There's infinite possibilities as to why new beginnings are beyond you. Except the one really big, giant, important thing. The one that you can't overlook. The one that you can't look past is that the Godhead's for you and cheering you on. The triune God is excited and hopeful that you will take what he's offering to you and have a new beginning again and again and again as necessary. And again, I want to preface this. All of it really boils down to two things, and we're gonna get into this. But I want to say, to some extent, these two things I'm getting ready to talk about, we all deal with these. And I don't want anybody in here to be like, yeah, some of y'all need to start again and get a life and whatever. But I actually think that most people who are practiced at church deal with these two things I want to bring out actually the most. Because we get to a place where we are comfortable. We're not doing hellish things anymore. But at the same rate, we're not growing anymore. We're not having any new we're not going to new places with the Lord. We're not, because we've reached a certain spot. And so I want to talk about these two things, because I think it's really important why we are so afraid of new beginnings. The first term, I'll give you the name and then I'll give you the definition. The first fear is the fear of starting something new because of the discomfort it will cause. Okay, this is just the fear of starting something new. And this is actually a real fear, well, a real fear or whatever. But it's actually defined. It's called neophobia. Neophobia. That is the fear of starting something new. And I don't want to just, okay, well, we're not doing that because that's just it. No, there's a reason. Here's what it is. It's the inherent shame of beginning. Don't look at me while I struggle to learn something new. Don't look at me while I'm not ready yet. Don't watch. I'm doing something new. Don't look. And so instead of us facing that conflict and letting that thing take us to a new place, we don't ever try things that are new. We don't ever try things that we're not good at. I don't want to be seen as lacking in any areas because I only want to pursue the things that I excel in. And like the plague, I avoid confronting something that would require me to change something or start something new within me. So that's a real fear that I believe even Christians who have been in the faith for a long time struggle with. The second one, and this is kind of a funny one, but it's called a tichyphobia. That's not fear of clocks or ticks. But a tichyphobia is the fear of failure. It's essentially the fear of failure and the shame that it will produce when we fail. And I kind of wrote it like this. More than we actually desire to be successful, we just don't want to be seen failing or struggling. So if I don't actually address the problems that are impeding my growth, then they don't exist. That's what this fear causes us to do. Well, I just won't address the things that I'm not doing well, and then if I don't see them, then they're just not real, and I don't have to deal with them. The problem is that they do. And I don't really care as much about my reality of our growth, but more so the perception of my growth. And that's dangerous for a lot of Christians. Whenever we get more concerned about the perception of our spiritual maturity instead of the reality of our spiritual maturity. These fears. And again, we could have a million valid reasons. And I'm going to use valid like this. And it could be a circumstance. It could have been something that happened to you. It could have been something you went through. It could have been, you know, someone you knew growing up or something you experienced. And it drove you to this point. But this is a problem within the body of Christ. And I believe is what hinders us from being able to experience the Zoe kind of life, because we get hung up on either starting something new that we've never done before or trying again at something that we've failed. And I want you to notice something, that both of these things start with the fear of. And while I'm not trying to cookie cutter a solution or even oversimplify something that you may have legitimately gone through that's being used against you, I want to point out what really matters in all of it. Are you or are you not a child of God? Are you or are you not a child of God? If the answer is yes, then why are you in fear of anything or anyone that's not God? And we've already seen God is the God of start again. He's the God of try again. He's the God of new beginnings. So why are we getting hung up on being in fear? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, then who does? Who's given you the spirit of fear of a new beginning? Who told you to think that way? Who told you to be afraid of that? Who told you that you had to be in shame about either trying something new or starting something again? Our enemy. And we get so involved in trying to diagnose our traumas that we end up not being able to focus on the actual thing that we need to do, which is just have a new beginning, to start over. And the solution is dealing with the reality that's within us, and it's fear. We're in fear, and fear is in us, and it's in us because the enemy is trying, your adversary is trying to you to have fear in everything. And why do you think he would want you to be afraid of that? Why do you think? Well, let's try to tie him down to his motives. See, your actions, what you do, follows your expectations. You act on what you expect to happen. Those actions that you act on provide your experiences. And your experiences set your reality. So the realities that we live in are based on our expectations. And if our expectations are founded in being afraid, I don't start anything new because, oh. Or I don't want to try that again because, man, I've messed up so many times. It would, at this point, what's the point? Our expectations set our reality, and then we never grow either way. We're stuck in the past. There are so many of God's people who I believe are trying to live in power and love and soundness of mind with fear in the background going crazy. Fear in the background going crazy, causing chaos within us. Where God's trying to get us to think differently, live differently, have a different kind of a life. There's something new that's available to us. But instead of us being able to take hold of it, we're so focused on what we're afraid of. You serve the God of new beginnings. So have a new beginning. Don't be afraid of it. Have a new beginning. Let's just do it. But let's not wait. Let's not put it off. And I get it. Sometimes we fight guilt. We fight shame. I could have been. Okay, but don't feel guilty. I should know this by now. I should be here by now. I've been going to church for this long, and I'm not. 1 John 3:20, I love this verse. It says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. God is not looking down on you in heaven, condemning you on what you should have been by now. Or what you could have been by now. God's not wringing his hands in heaven going, well, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with them now. No, he's got a plan. He's got a plan, even in maybe your mistakes. Could you believe that? Could you believe that? That maybe in your mistakes, God still has a plan for you and a way out for you and an actual abundant life in spite of your mistakes and what you've done. Of all the demons, I believe the one that holds most people back and prevents them from being happy is what could have been and was not. What could have been and is not. People get so hung up on that. I mean, people that sit around the table in the glory days, you know. And there's nothing wrong with talking about memories. There's nothing wrong with that. But whenever oh, we're talking about that story again. Oh, we're talking about, you know, that game you won in that tournament. What was that, 25 years ago? That's the highlight of your life? God's not looking for Christians that peaked in high school. The abundant life that you can live didn't peak for you in high school. Praise God. Praise God. And could you believe that in the mercy of God and in all of His wisdom and His providence, that when you were 6 or 7 or 10 or 11 and you gave your life to God and you believed in that abundant life, that God knew you might need His grace and His mercy and His provision more whenever you were older and had some opportunity to make some real mistakes? Yeah, okay, wet in the bed was embarrassing. But you know, there's some things that God's still giving you access to have a new beginning in that go way beyond that. Johnny and you got into it on the playground. There's God's grace and His mercy was way more than just what happened to you whenever you were a little kid. God's option for you to have a new beginning was not just meant for the little kid stuff. When Jesus Christ was on the cross and dying for all the sins, He wasn't going, boy, I sure hope nobody ever commits adultery. I sure hope nobody ever walks out on their family. I sure hope nobody ever really struggles with something tough because I don't know if my blood can cover that. I sure hope nobody ever gets addicted to drugs. I sure hope nobody ever has problems with alcohol. I sure hope nobody ever has a problem with anger. I sure hope. That's not what, when Jesus was on the cross and He died for our sin, He didn't die for our little kid sins. When Jesus said, I'm going to raise you to new life, it wasn't just from the little things. When Jesus Christ said, you have a new life in me and a new beginning in me and my mercies are new every day, He wasn't shocked that when He looked ahead and, oh, well, not for them. No. The past is left to the mercy of God and the future to His providence. Only the present now is in our hands. How are we going to live? What are we going to choose? I realize that it can be difficult. God did too. That's why He said in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's really encouraging. Really hopeful. Every day that you live, there will be enough trouble of it on its own. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about trying to save any trouble for tomorrow. There's already going to be some. Don't worry about it. A real hopeful message there. But no, what God's saying is, we've got a new beginning tomorrow. I've got a new mercy for you tomorrow. My love extends for your tomorrow. Therefore, don't worry. Take each day in stride as you begin to see yourself start again and become a new creature. And don't get shy about starting over. I read this verse to the kids in Elevation class this morning, but this is just a great verse. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work completed, to see the work begin. The God that you serve rejoices when you decide, I am going to start again. I'm going to start again. I'm going to try again. I'm going to adhere to what God says over what I feel again. I'm going to give the Word of God another shot in my heart. And I'm going to believe what He says over what I feel right now, over what my past says right now, over what I just did right now. God, I'm starting again. He rejoices to see the work begin. God is not up in heaven mad at the reality of where you are. He is in the redemption process. He is in the redemption business. He's not in the foreclosure business. Hallelujah. God's not foreclosing on your life. So don't you go giving up on it yet either. God's not, all right, let's cash in our chips and let's get out. All right, hey, Holy Spirit, quit spending time with them. Let's go someplace else where we can really maybe make a difference. No, God's not in that business. He's not in the foreclosure business. He's in the restorative business. He's rejoicing to see you rise up. A baby has to learn how to walk. Baby has to learn how to walk. All right? And I know some of us in here, we don't like to think of ourselves as babies. But if you're doing something new that you've never done before, you're going to have to learn how to do it. And there's a lot of falls between being on the floor and standing up and walking. There's a lot of falls. But those falls actually strengthen us. And they get us to the point where we're able to walk and do what we need to do. So don't let your ego get in the way of the process that God's using to strengthen you along the way to get to you where you want to be. Because it takes that to become a success. I just want us to get this. Don't let what you didn't do right keep you from what you know to do now. Don't let what you didn't do right keep you from what you know to do now. Well, it's just too late. Well, I tried that and I missed out on that. Nelson Mandela had a quote, "It's never too late to do the right thing." It's never too late to do the right thing. Now, I get it. There's a consequence because we didn't do it right the first time. I get that. And now we're dealing with some stuff now that had we just chose the first time to do it, we wouldn't be dealing with. But don't let that defeat you and go, well, God can't possibly do anything with me. Never say never. Never say or try to limit what God's power can do in your life. Don't let your weakness be something that gets in your way. Embrace it. Grab a hold of the new beginning through Christ's power within you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." When we finally let things go, and what I mean is when we finally come to the conclusion, all right, I'm just going to start again. Okay, I'm actually going to believe what God wants to do in my life. I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing what I should be doing. God, I'm going to repent, and okay, God, I'm going to let you in, and I'm going to let you work in me. When we actually get there, it's like all of a sudden there's a just God's power is able to show up. And he says, "Thank you very much." That's what God's looking for. God's looking for us to turn over the reins of what's going on and say, "God, I want to start again." But in order for us to do that, we have to humble ourselves. God, I want a new beginning. And where I'm at right now is I need a new beginning. When we let things go, that gives God the ability to move. I like this other quote too. It said, "Although no one can go back and get a brand new start, anyone can start from now and get a brand new ending." Although no one can go back and get a brand new start, anyone can start from now and get a brand new ending. What that means is you get a new beginning. You get a new beginning.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.